chapter 40 this morning, Isaiah chapter 40. And if you're visiting with us today, we're in a series we have entitled Living Beyond Our Capacity. And we are dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And we've already moved through several phases of this. And we talked about what happens when we get saved, that Christ saves us, but the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates us. At the point of salvation, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed. And at that point, He becomes our companion. And He is a everlasting companion. The Word of God says the Holy Spirit will be ours forever. We found out that we've been sealed or stamped by the Holy Spirit. He is also our earnest, the down payment on the salvation that we have. And He indwells us. He guides us. He directs us now. He is our companion. And when we become a new creature in Christ Jesus after salvation, the Holy Spirit starts changing us. He will not leave us the way He found us. And He will do a wonderful work in our heart. Last time we were talking about His work as we are Christians now, that He sets us apart. And understand this. Positionally, we are righteous because of the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ has made us righteous. The Holy Spirit has regenerated us by the acceptance of Christ by faith. And now He's working on us practically. And that is what we call sanctification. And His ministry of sanctification is that He's taken us away from the presence of sin. In other words, we don't want to sin anymore because we're Christians. Will we ever get to the point where we do not sin? No. None of us will ever be perfect down here. But it's like one lady said. She says, I can't explain it in a theological terminology, but there's one thing I know that happened to me. Before I used to run to sin, now I run from sin. And I think that's a good way to explain it to where we can put our minds around it. Today, we want to deal with His strengthening power in our life. Something you need to not forget. You need to remember this. The Word of God tells us that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So we can live victorious Christian lives. It's according to the part of you that you feed. And understand this. You can feed your flesh as a Christian, but you'll become a fleshly Christian. Or you can feed the spiritual side of you, and that way you'll become more spiritual. You'll become a mature Christian. More like Christ is the example that the Bible gives us, that we ought to be growing in the image and stature of Jesus Christ. Well, let's understand the strengthening ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 40, you have that? Also find Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll get right into this, and I think you'll be blessed by what the Word of God has to say for us this morning. Romans chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 40. Let's start with Isaiah 40. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God today, and we'll get right into this. Verse 28, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. I like that. Neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Romans chapter 8. Notice what the Word of God says here in this text. Romans 8, look with us at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice what it says here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Father, I pray now that you'll bless the reading of the Word of God to our hearts and minds. Teach us out of the Word of God today what you have for us. We sure need your help today, Lord. And I pray that everything that's said and done could honor you. And Lord, if there's one here without Christ as Savior, I pray today that they might be gloriously saved. I pray that the hearts of Christians might be stirred up about becoming better Christians, about serving you in a better way, about being more faithful to you and allowing you to do what needs to be done in our lives. Bless and guide now. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated today. How many of you have ever raised teenagers? That's quite a deal in itself, isn't it? Some of you, we pray for you daily. You have teenagers coming. I had a problem when my son and my daughter, especially my daughter, had a problem with them when they got to the driving age. They started driving. And they started, you know, going to school, driving to school, going out to get a soda pop, you know, and those kinds of things. I started getting telephone calls. One after the other after the other. Dad, can you come and pick me up and bring me some gas? I ran out of gas. I said, all right, I'll do that, but there better be $3 hanging out the window. And so my daughter said, well, that'd take my Coke money. I said, that's a price you pay for driving a car. And so I pulled up there and walked up to her car, and there was $3 hanging out the window. And so about a week later, Dad, can you come and get me? I ran out of gas again. It's $4 now. Well, Dad, it was $3. It ought to be $2. Oh, it's $4 now. I broke them real quick. When it got up to $5, I never had another call. They took care of it. They handled it. You say, that's terrible. Well, I wanted them to learn a lesson. You keep gas in your car. You always make sure you got gas. You don't drive on an empty tank. And if your tank is empty out there, shame on you. Huh? You ought to get some gas in your car. But realize this, that's talking about a trip. That's talking about driving a car in a physical setting. Many of us, and many Christians here today, many of us run out of gas in our lives. And we get to the place to where we just run out of gas. We are spiritually depleted. We are emotionally depleted. We even get physically depleted and exhausted. We get fatigued. and we get weary. And do you realize that weariness brings you to a place of bad decisions? Weariness can do this to you. It can bring you, weariness can bring you to the place to where you live on the negative side of life. And you're just weary all the time. Vince Lombardi said this, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." And how true that is. In the ministry, I'm not going to lie to you today. In the ministry, there's been times where I've been weary. There's been times when I've had, fatigue. I've been emotionally and physically exhausted. And it can be because of a variety of things. It can be because of stresses. It can be because of the demands of schedule. It can be because of the expectation of other people. It can be because of a variety of things. But in your life, you face similar things that I face. You face weariness. And it affects your attitude. It affects your outlook on life. Weariness can really cause you to start questioning fundamental things you have in your life. Truths that you have. Weariness can cause family abuse. It can cause financial ruin, spiritual reversal, bad decisions. Weariness can cause all those things. And it's where we get to the point where we think life stinks. And you say, "Well, Brother Ron, I've never been there." Well, you're a very unusual specimen. Because a lot of us have been there to where we've been just spiritually weary. And not only physically weary, but spiritually. I mean, it's a place where we get to where things bother us. Things agitate us. Things frustrate us. It's the place where we have the least patience and least spiritual perception. And you say, "Well, maybe I just need a good night's sleep." Well, that can help you physically, but weariness spiritually needs more than just a good night's sleep. We've got to be, have a restoration or a restoring of our soul, a restoring of our spiritual excitement, if you please. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Where He ignites that fire again. After we sit under the preaching of the Word of God and we get stirred up, who does that stirring? God's Spirit does that stirring. He says, "Yeah, listen to that preacher. He's got your number today." Huh? Amen. And it's a good thing. And understand this. I think we ought to all be warned that weariness can destroy us. It can rob us of our excitement, our passion. It happens to all Christians. And you don't have to be a preacher. It just happens to all of us. And the devil wants to defeat us. He wants to throw things in front of us that causes problems. See, God knows that we're going to face these things in life. And He sends strength. And that strength is through the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says, "Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." We've got to understand exactly what that means. And many of us can identify with this today. At least I could. And many of us have spent times of discouragement and times of loneliness and times where we've been down on the negative side of life and we may have gone so far as to make bad choices and be in despair. What's it say there in Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31? What's it say? It talks about how our God is a God of strength, that He's a God of power, and that He can give us that strength. And it pictures for us in Isaiah 30, 31, that we are bound together with the Lord. And we've got to learn to be patient with Him. And we've got to learn to wait on Him, is the word that said. You know why? Because we're bound together. We're bound together with God. And the Holy Spirit can meet you at your lowest point. And He can give you the strength to pick yourself up and to go on. But the Holy Spirit's the one that better be doing it. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. See, there's no giant living in you. The giant that's living in you is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that we better get our strength from. And understand this. Please realize this. Your weariness does not surprise God. Your failure does not surprise God. Huh? It doesn't. God knows we're going to face those times. But He sends the Holy Spirit to be a breath of refreshing to us and to give us the strength to go on. See, the Holy Spirit guides us. That's what it says over in Luke chapter 14, verse number 26. It says that He teaches us all things and He brings all things to remembrance. He does that. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, we just read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. We've got to learn to let Him lead. You know, most people are led by their feelings or their emotions. That's the way most of us are led. How do I feel? How's my emotion today? Emotions can destroy you. Your desires can mess you all up. And we've got to understand this. We can go through life aimlessly. And emotional instability can be controlling in our life. But if we'll let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, we can live on the higher plane. We can live in a better place. I get in trouble every time I try to control my life. Every time I want to lead, it's normally the wrong road. I've got to learn to wait on Him and let Him lead me. I need Him every minute. I need Him every hour. You've heard me pray this 1,000 times. Lord, we are totally dependent on You. Without You, we can do nothing. I need You every minute. I need You every hour. We as Christians better realize where our strength comes from. A lot of Christians don't realize that they try to bring their own strength, and that's why they end up falling on their face. That's why they end up giving up and throwing in the towel. And see, we've got to understand, God has sent somebody to help us. He's going to be our guide. Now, there's another word. I like what Paul Chappell said in his book. There's another word that we can use, the navigator. How many of you know what a navigator is? Let me tell you what a navigator does. A navigator on a ship or on an aircraft, he is the one person aware of the position of the vessel. He knows where you are. His responsibility is planning the trip. His responsibility is advising you of the travel conditions and warning you of any hazards that are ahead. He's the one that keeps accurate communications at all times going, and he's always in communication with the captain, letting the captain know what's up ahead. The navigator is essential to any safe, prosperous travel plan. He's essential. Now here we were, before salvation. You know what we did? Our navigator was me. I'm my navigator. What am I doing? I'm navigating through life. How did most of us navigate through life before we got saved? We did it by the seat of our pants. Huh? Come on. Am I right? Our emotions led us. Our feelings led us. Our desires led us. Our stupid friends sometimes led us. And we listened to their advice. Folks, we've got a Holy Spirit that lives within us now. He's our navigator. He knows what trip we're on. He knows what's out there that's going to cause us trouble. He knows what exactly where we're headed. He's aware of all the hazards, and He keeps good communication with the one that we trust. Because He is part of God. He is God. Amen? It's only one God, three functions. Right? Come on. Only one God, three functions. The Spirit strengthens us. And it's that still small voice that speaks down in here. And He lets me know, hey, you're going the wrong direction. But He does more than guide me. You know what else He does? He assures me. He assures me. Do you realize insecurity is in control of a lot of Christians' lives? Here's what people want. They want to be accepted. They want people to accept them. That's what a lot of people want. That's longing. Socially, we want to be accepted. And do we understand that we fall short? When it comes spiritually speaking, we fall short of God's expectations. I can't meet those expectations. But I have somebody in here that can. And He can help me. And see, God loves me. God cares enough to let the Holy Spirit guide me and let the Holy Spirit direct me. And one of the great strengthening ministries of the Holy Spirit is to assure me that I have standing with God. I am His. And He is mine. I like what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. The Word of God says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit allows us to cry out to God, Abba. Now, understand, back in the days of Christ, back in the days of Paul who wrote this, the word Abba, you know what it meant in the Hebrew? The word Abba literally meant daddy or dada. That's what it meant. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But he says that we are so close to God, we can call Him Daddy. Or we can call Him Dada. And one of the first syllables that a little baby learned in the Middle East, guess what it was? Abba. 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 Now, women, isn't that right? Normally, that's the first syllable they would learn. Huh? Instead of mama, mama, mama. Dada, dada, dada. Come on. Amen? Maybe your child learned mama, mama, mama first. I don't know. But I was trying to give the men something really to hang on there, but that didn't work very well, so we'll just move on. But it's a picture of a relationship between a daddy and a child. I remember my first son was Chuck. He weighed 10 pounds and 5 ounces when he was born. He's a big old boy. And the nurses, when they come out, they brought him out. And back, you have to understand, things were a little different back in those days. You didn't get to go into the birthing room and all of that kind of thing. You were lucky to get to see him. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you were very lucky to even get near that little child. They thought you had awful things crawling all over you. And anyway, I knew the nurse. And she brought him out, handed him to me, and says, "Here, I'll let you hold him for 1 minute." And I looked down. You know what you do when you see your son for the first time? You goo at him, and you just go, "Oh, aren't you so cute?" And everything, you know, and everything. And boy, immediately the relationship was there. He was mine. Huh? And I'd do anything. I'd defend him with my life. I would do anything for him. You know why? Because I was his father. And realize that's the relationship that he's talking about right here. And here's the special thing. When they took my son, boy, I liked him. I said, "Man, he's cool." Huh? Do you realize God likes you? A lot of Christians have a hard time with that. They go, "Wait a minute, how can God like me?" He does. He likes you so much, he loved you so much, he died for you. Amen? And we've got to understand that he wants a relationship with you. He wants to actually be involved in your daily activity, in your daily life. And he wants to be part of your life. And it's like, having a close walk with him and a close relationship is not something should be distant from you. G. Campbell Morgan was reading to a shut-in. And as he sat there and as he was reading the Word of God to this shut-in, he read this verse, "Lo, I am with you always." And he paused for just a minute when he read that verse of Scripture. And he said, "Now, ma'am, isn't that a wonderful promise? Lord's with you always." And she said, "No, sir, it's not." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" She says, "It's a wonderful reality that he's with me right now. He's with me every day." And there she was, all alone, total shut-in, and she had grown very, very close to the Lord during those days. And folks, understand this. God wants to guide you. He wants to be an important part of your life. He wants to be in a close relationship with you. Folks, he wants to comfort you through your life. Now stop and think. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was telling them, he's getting ready to leave. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had seen everything that he had ever done. They'd seen it. They'd seen the ministry of Christ unfold. They had seen him feed thousands upon thousands with just a little bit of fishes and bread. They had seen that. They had seen him heal people. They had seen demons cast out. They had seen the dead raised. Can you imagine to wake up tomorrow and say, "I get to walk with Jesus"? Man, I don't know. Those guys, whoo, they were living it. They were living it day after day after day. And to wake up tomorrow and Jesus says, "Now, I'm getting ready to leave. But I'm going to send another one of one like myself. He's going to be here. It's expedient for me to go. It's a needful thing. It's a good thing. Because he's going to undo ministry in your life that hasn't been done before." And that was going to be the job of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus, you know, this thing of him leaving and him dying wasn't in the script for them. They were totally planning something else. And Jesus says, "I'm going to leave you another comforter. And he is going to be the intercessor. He's going to be the consoler. He's going to be the advocate. He's going to be the one that comes along beside and helps. He's going to be the paraclete. He's the part of me. I'm going to leave here. And he's going to do ministry in your life.
and He is as I am. That's the same Holy Spirit that indwells us. That's the same one. He indwells us.
And yet we live defeated lives. We live lives totally given to what we want. And God's given us a navigator that can navigate us through all this stuff, and we haven't got sense enough to tap into it. I have to say this. Spiritually speaking, I'm pretty stupid. And I've got to learn to bring my flesh under subjection, like Paul said.
I've got to learn to bring me under the control of the Spirit of God, that I might be what I need to be for Him.
I want Him to do a great work in my life. And I've got to understand that. The Bible tells us. See, God knew what I was going to go through in life. And the Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says this. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." See, I've got hope. The Holy Spirit's involved in my life. And Jesus said in John 14:27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I've got to learn to let the Holy Spirit lead me and to guide me and not become overwhelmed and engulfed in all the sorrow that I see in my life. Job said it this way, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all." Do you realize people can't give you fulfillment? Things can't give you fulfillment. The thing that brings fulfillment is a close relationship with the Lord. That's what brings fulfillment in your life. The psalmist, he says it this way. He says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Folks, you won't find comfort with people. You know where you find comfort? In the Holy Spirit of God. He is our comforter. He's the one we got to learn to go to. He's the one we got to learn to tap into. He's the one that we've got to learn. See, you know what a lot of folks turn to? Listen to me. A lot of folks turn to painkillers when they're in trouble, when they're weary, when they're emotionally distressed. That's what they turn to. There's different kinds of painkillers. It can be pills. It can be alcohol. It can be all kinds of different things. People turn to painkillers to take away the edge or to give them... Hey, why not turn to the Holy Spirit of God? Why not turn to Him and say, "I need You, Lord. I'm in trouble." He cares for you. He's the greatest power in the world. And we shouldn't be relying on the junk the world offers. I mean, there's times where we feel like we're walking around in a fog and we go through trials and we're emotionally and mentally distressed and the circumstances of life, have left us speechless because we're having a hard time dealing with all of it. And understand this. The Holy Spirit's our intercessor. The Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for what we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth that it is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." See, the Holy Spirit's our intercessor. He's pouring out to God what's really in my heart. When I can't say it, the Holy Spirit's doing that for me. With groanings. See, he's the one that I've got to learn to have hope in. He's the one that I've got to learn to have patience in. He's the one that teaches me these things. And I've got to understand those things. I've got to understand that He is an ever-present dwelling entity in my life. And I've got to surround my life with Him. Understand this. I'm going to close. Understand in running. How many of you were runners, like track runners? There's something that happens to a runner when he's exhausted, he's weary, he's totally at the end. There's a thing that they try to explain psychologically and physically that happens to a runner. He gets a second wind. It's where you have the burst to do what you normally couldn't do. We've seen it in football games. We've seen it in other times where runners, they get that second wind and they have a burst. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've experienced it in your own life. Just a burst of strength or ability to run. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's our second wind. He gives us the burst to continue on when you can't go any further. He's the one that keeps you on the right track. The Word of God says this, that He would grant you, according to His riches in glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Holy Spirit's the one that strengthens that inner man. The Bible says in Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Holy Spirit is the one doing that. He's the one encouraging us. He's the one that gives us that second wind to pick ourselves up and go on. When we're weary, when we're wore out, when we're spiritually depleted, the Holy Spirit can give us that strength to continue on. He can. What's the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, this is what He does. He leads us and guides us. He assures us. He comforts us. He consoles us. He intercedes for us. He is our hope. We are patiently waiting on Him. He gives us renewed strength. And here's the question. What kind of relationship do you have with God's Spirit today? Are you close to God? Are you close to His book? Has the Holy Spirit got free course to work within you? Or are you setting up a lot of roadblocks for Him to where He can't get through all the mess, all the maze? Maybe you ought to tear some of those things down today and let the Holy Spirit have free course in your life to build you, to do what needs to be done in your life. I think we ought to just turn to Him. And we ought to say, Lord, I need You right now. I need Your strength. I need You to give me the ability to be the kind of Christian I need to be. I found out it's not in me. It's in Him. And we've got to realize, all of us need to be people that are willing to say, God, I need Your help. I need Your help. The psalmist said it this way. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God's my strength. He's mine. Why wouldn't I tap into that? Why wouldn't I get Him more involved in my life?
you're having difficulty, get God involved. Get Him involved. His Holy Spirit's just waiting for the call. He's just waiting for the call. He's just waiting for the call. I one time had some things I was dealing with, and I needed to move some stuff, and my friend told me, he says, if you need any help, just give me a call. And I called him up, and guess what? Well, I'm too busy. I said, well, okay, I totally understand. You know, it's sort of a quick deal. And I called another friend. He says, well, I'm glad you called. Yeah, I'll be right there. So on the way over, he called two or three of his friends. I didn't even know him. All he said was, my preacher needs help. Come on, you're going to go with me. One guy, he said, you owe me. And all of a sudden, I realized he had three or four buddies show up there to help me move some stuff. And I said, boy, that's wonderful. I called him. Here he comes. Do you realize the Word of God tells us back there in the book of Isaiah? Let me read that to you again. It gives us a wonderful, wonderful truth. It says, has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? Folks, do you realize? He's the one that gives us power. He's the one that gives us strength. All we got to do is call. All we got to do is call. Might we learn to turn to Him in times of need? Today, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you been spiritually quickened, made alive yet? And if you have, are you letting the Holy Spirit lead your life? Father, I pray you bless what has been said today.